every now and then.
The artisans.
I hear fellas bragging on them women. And it makes me, how it makes me want to brag a little bit on my
exclusive collaboration.
I don't know where to start bragging on my woman because she's got so many good qualities.
Welcome to Between a Talk and a Hard Place, a podcast for women bringing you down-to-earth conversation about the realities of our real-life experiences. From situations to situationships, we'll be discussing the challenges women face but don't talk about enough as we navigate this thing called life. I'm your host, Lizette McKenzie. So October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and I want to open the door to have a discussion about this vicious cycle. Joining me today are my two co-hosts, Alicia and Shanika, and before we jump on topic, I want to give them a chance to say hey.
Hi guys, I'm Shanika, originally from Chicago, so I am what I like to call the quintessential 30 plus single professional woman, you know, where I'm just living my life, doing the best that I can. Definitely have had my fair share of failed relationships, had good guys, but just relationships didn't work out. So come from a good old two-parent super Christian household, you know, and they would definitely do the proverbial like, because I'm not going back to church at any point in my future. I just don't see it. So, but this is just me. I party, I drink, I have a good time. I love people, you know, even though I need my time to myself. But yeah, this is me. I'm enjoying so far just having this conversation with Lizette and Alicia and looking forward to more conversations and diving in deeper.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name's Alicia. I'm from North Carolina. I've lived in North Carolina my entire life. I've been in the Triangle area almost 7 years. And I guess I would call myself more of like the quiet person who sees everything. So while I haven't had a personal experience with domestic violence or a toxic relationship, I have seen things that I can identify as toxic. So I'm definitely interested in getting into this conversation and seeing how in our society we can better identify those in toxic and abusive situations and also help them get the healing and the therapy that they need that we don't always want to focus on.
Thank you, Alicia. That was great. Well, thank you both for being here. So today I want to talk about what domestic violence is. I want to go over three common myths about domestic violence, the types of abuse, and some red flags that could indicate that a person is abusive. By definition, domestic violence is violent or aggressive behavior within the home, typically involving abuse of a spouse or partner. It may be referred to as intimate partner violence, domestic abuse, dating violence, marital rape, and date rape. And I want to start with myth number one, which is domestic violence is rare. So I know, Alicia, you said that you didn't have any personal experience with domestic violence. Can you ladies tell of something that you may have heard of in dealing with domestic violence?
I've heard of, you know, until recently, I've heard it mostly being about physical abuse, but I think recent conversations that have been brought up in public as well as private, it's not just the act of one partner physically hurting another, it can be emotional and psychological and financial. And then there's also the issue of reproductive coercion. I think what I've seen more are partners who kind of have a toxic emotional relationship, whereas one partner will belittle the other and to the point that the other partner kind of feels like they feels like they don't have equal say, or they can't, their emotions are dependent on their significant other. And in that dynamic, it does become abusive, because you don't realize someone else is manipulating you through your emotions. So I think that's definitely one myth that is just recently been dismantled, that domestic violence only focuses on the physical aspect.
And have you heard of an experience or seen of a situation where someone was in an abusive relationship? I know we had spoken of an example earlier. You want to talk about that a little?
Sure. So when I was in high school, I had, I'm from Wilmington, North Carolina. So if for anyone who knows, Wilmington is kind of a little big town. And so the high school I went to, it wasn't the largest high school, but it was sizable enough that some things that I heard happen at school, I wouldn't hear about until I watched the news. So one day I got home from school, and there was a story about a girl who was the year ahead of me. So I was maybe a sophomore. The girl who was ahead of me, she's a junior, and it turns out she was killed. But she wasn't just killed by anyone. She was killed by another classmate of hers, her boyfriend. And I had no idea that this was even happening in my school. But, of course, it sparked a big conversation, because my parents were like, well, do you know her? Did you know her situation? And I had to go and explain. I was like, well, I know of her, and I know who she is. She's a very great person. But as far as seeing her relationship and what happened, I didn't know. So, yeah, that was definitely something that kind of marked me early, as far as, you know, it being a domestic violence type of situation that, you know, no one knew about until it was too late, sadly. And as years have gone by, I've heard of more of these cases happening, especially with younger adults, high school and college age, kind of getting in their first relationship. They think they're in love, and sadly it turns to an instance where the abuse can progress to murder. So that was definitely something I remember from, you know, early experience.
Right. And what about you, Shanika?
I haven't seen anybody say physically abused or known of anyone who was physically abused, at least not to my knowledge. But I have seen my fair share of relationships where I felt like there was emotional abuse taking place, where one partner felt like they couldn't fully express themselves. And if they did, the other party, you know, would kind of flip things around so that they became the victim, you know, versus, you know, that other person who was actually having the experience. So I definitely saw plenty of that growing up, to the point where, you know, I always said, like, that's not the relationship I ever want to personally have. And it's tough when, especially as you're growing up and you're coming into your own and you're seeing things, and you recognize, like, that's not healthy, you know, and seeing that the other party, they lose themselves in this relationship. And that's so unfortunate, because they are this vibrant person most of the time, but in that relationship, they cannot be fully themselves. And that just, it sucks. So that's the only type of abuse I've seen. And I can't say which abuse is worse. I can't say if emotional is worse than physical or anything like that. It's all equally bad. It affects you in similar ways. You know, you might not wear your scars on the outside when it comes to emotional abuse, but it definitely weighs on you. It affects your confidence. It affects how you interact with people. And it doesn't make you feel good. You know, it makes you question everything, and that's just no good. So right. I definitely saw that part of relationships. So
right. And I'm very vocal about my history with intimate partner violence, which is why I chose myth number one to be that domestic violence is not rare. At least I want to say it's over right now, over 4 million women are affected by domestic violence every year. And that's about one out of every four women who will experience that in their lifetime. And it's only three of us on the line. And I'm number one. I'm that one that had that experience. And you guys know I wrote a book about it. And I was in an abusive relationship for years. And just like you said, Shanika, it affects your confidence. You don't feel like you can be who you are. You lose yourself. Alicia, like you said, I'm lucky that I did not meet the same fate as the young lady from back when you were in high school, but I can see how it could have easily turned out that way.
Right.
And it does affect, it has no age limit. Domestic violence does not discriminate. There's no socioeconomic specifications. Anybody, it's one of those anybody can get it type of situations.
Exactly.
I think a lot of women, and in all fairness, it's not just women who are abused. Men do get abused as well, but the statistics are higher or more spoken about for women.
That is true.
So I don't want to sound unfair, because it is something that happens on both sides. But it's more vocal, more verbalized in women. And
sometimes I think that could be, so just fundamentally, men are stronger physically than right. women are. So many times, like when people first think about abuse, their first thought is physical many times. So it's very easy to see, you know, a man beating on a woman, because that's what we typically know about, because they're right. the stronger sex.
Right.
You know, whereas say a woman beating on a man, you know, that doesn't really happen that often, because like I said, the man is the stronger sex of the two.
Right.
But definitely. And then also men just don't speak about a lot of that stuff, especially right. when it comes to say, if their woman happens to be laying hands on him, because I have seen that, where there's some women out there who will jump at a man and be like, wait a minute.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it definitely happens, but they don't speak about it as much as well, but it is definitely out there or men definitely go through it as well.
Right. Absolutely. And abuse is like I think Alicia, you had touched on this. It's not just physical, it's sexual. It's verbal, emotional, and psychological, financial, spiritual, yep. and reproductive. And people are, I know for me, it was more of feeling ashamed to be in that situation, which is why I didn't want to talk about it. Even if someone would have, I've had black eyes, I've had scratches on my face, I've had all of these physical marks. And if somebody would ask me about it, I would make up outrageous stories. Like I've tripped on so many shoes. I've stepped on so many cracks. I think we cover it up, and because we feel like it's not a common occurrence, and we don't want to be looked at as victims. But the reality is we are victims, and it's not rare. And I think the discussion needs to happen more often so that people can get comfortable with talking about what's going on, so that they can start finding the solutions to start healing and getting out of those situations.
I agree. And I would also add to that, I don't know about y'all, but my family is quite Southern. So growing up, there's always that kind of mantra of, well, this is not everyone's business. This is family business. So even like, whatever would happen between my parents and I, that would stay in our house, because people consider that family business.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Obviously, if it was something, say, like affecting the whole family, like say someone was sick, and you know, it affected the extended family, but in, you know, in the nuclear family unit, it was generally considered whatever's happening back here is, you know, family business. Don't bring everyone into your business. And I think even now that's internalized in a lot of people, and they tend to think, well, this is just something going on in my home. I don't need to bring my friends. I don't need to bring my extended family into my business. But what people in abusive situations don't realize is it can save you. So I would definitely say that there needs to be more positive encouragement. And I think now with social media being such a big thing, I think something like this could be a great platform to share, you know, I was in an abusive situation and I got out, or I helped a friend get out of the situation, just to keep breaking that stigma that it doesn't have to be contained to your home. You don't have to suffer in silence anymore.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that is a big thing, that staying silent, that keeping your business at home. And because the violence can start at pretty much any age, you know.
Right.
I don't know about you guys, but I took to liking boys at an early age. So from that very minute, I was susceptible to becoming a victim of domestic violence and being told, well, you don't tell your business. You don't share family business in the street. You don't tell this. That kind of instills in you, okay, this is what's going on at home. This is considered family business. I can't say anything.
Right.
And I think this is something that's being passed on to our children. Right. It's generational, and it's something that needs to be broken.
Oh, yeah. Because there's a difference between keeping your relationship private and, you know, keeping secrets. You know, like that's a very fine line. And I definitely grew up in a family very similar to you all, you know, where if there was a problem in the home, people outside of the home did not know about it. You know, I know my parents, you know, we in the home, like, yeah, we can tell when they were not, say, best friends, you know, at that moment. But no one in the outside world knew that, you know, just 15 minutes ago before we left the house, they had gotten into an argument.
Right.
You know, and I remember my mom even saying that about how their parents were, you know, like they would get into it. My grandparents and the outside world, though, you know, they would go to church and whatnot. They did not, they didn't see that side. And it's just like, okay. And I mean, now granted, they weren't abusive as far as I know, you know, but it's just that's that thing. It's like there's a difference between keeping your relationship private and keeping things secret. And that's where you have to really be careful with that, I feel.
Right. And then society will look at it as, well, that type of thing only happens in families that are dysfunctional, or families, you know, minority families, people that are not educated, or poor people. And it's not. It doesn't matter what you look like, who you are, who you date. Domestic violence is violence against any partner. There's no such thing as it can't happen to me.
Right.
Well, when we were just talking just now, how y'all were saying y'all got into boys quite young, I had crushes and whatnot. And I would tell my mom, especially like when a guy in my class might tap me or hit me, and the first thing out of my mom's mouth was, "Oh, he probably likes you." I was like, "Why would someone hit you if they liked you?" Obviously, it's a cultural conditioning for young girls, especially, to think if a boy hits them or is physical with them, or you know, pushes them, that automatically means they're romantically interested. And I think we definitely need to, especially with our young girls, need to get into a very detailed conversation.
Thank you physical, for bringing that up.
That's true.
Yeah, physical touch, physical gestures. If you didn't give that person permission to touch you, then that's not okay. Because on the flip side of that, my mom would say if a boy hit me, he liked me. But on the flip side of that, my mom would absolutely be adamant that no one was allowed to touch my hair. So to me, that's mixed messaging.
Right.
You can't say one behavior is condoned just because it's culturally conditioned, and you can't, and the other isn't because that's private, you know, that's personal space or whatnot. Both are equally violations of a person. And I think we definitely need to touch more on telling young girls, no one is allowed to touch you unless you give them permission to in the story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's important. That, he hit you because he likes you. That is a very strong image to impress upon young girls.
Right.
If my daughter comes home, and she has, if she, both of them actually, and tells me that a boy hit them, I go out of my mind. We're going to the school. It's meeting time because why are you hitting my child? And I have sat in the school with teachers or assistant principals, and they've said the exact same thing. And my response was, you know what? I like you too. Can I hit you? Are you going to be okay?
Yeah.
That's my response. Like, okay, I like you. I'm going to hit you now. Are you going to be okay with me putting my hands on you? So why are you trying to justify the fact that this young fellow is hitting on my daughter because he might like her? Why are you trying to instill that? And even though I was in an abusive relationship, there are certain things, and that's a whole nother story with how, and maybe if we, maybe we can make this into a two-parter, because domestic violence is not just about you and your partner. It's about you and everyone in your home. So even though it was going on between me and my partner, my kids were absorbing all of that. So there was a lot of things that I know that they saw that was being justified as love and, you know, family, but it was really unhealthy and unnatural. And I didn't want them to grow up thinking that it was okay. And like you said, Alicia, your mom would say, oh, maybe he likes you, but they can't touch your hair. I was also sending those mixed messages to my kids as well.
Right.
So I was a huge part of that particular problem. So I can see how that materializes in your instance, but I don't condone it. And I, you know, it was more of do as I say and not as I do. And who actually does that?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like going back to my childhood, I don't fault my mom at all because again, it's cultural conditioning. It's what she learned and what she was used to. And, you know, my parents aren't in an abusive relationship. So they only know what they've seen in their lifetime from their family and friends. So I will never fault anyone with mixed messaging because in some regards, in every part of life, we all have our own mixed messaging to work through. So I just think now with the platforms we have available and the ways we have you know, kind of evolved into sharing our stories more intimately because we realize we're more alike than different. I think the space to, you know, openly say, okay, we got to teach our kids not to go around hitting each other anymore, not to go around touching each other unless it is consensual. End of story, bottom line. There shouldn't be a back and forth on this because I feel like the other issue that comes about when we talk about boys hitting girls is giving boys and young men in general permission to commit acts of violence, which can go into a whole another range of things beyond domestic violence. And I think that's definitely something we have to be keen of. So,
you know. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a power thing. You want to teach, you want little people, because little people grow up to be big people, you want them to grow up having respect and showing respect for the people they encounter. And people who are potential batterers, so to speak, they will most likely have these intentions of wanting to be controlling, of wanting to have things their way, you know. And as little people, you can kind of, you can try to balance out that power. Everything is not going to go your way. This is how right. you can behave if someone doesn't agree with you. This is what can happen, you know, for people who have different opinions. It's all about respecting other people in general.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Myth number two, domestic violence is a one-time event and only occurs when someone is stressed out, or it could be a anger management issue. So I found that a lot of people in various conversations would think, number one, because they don't really recognize what the true nature of domestic violence is. They think, oh, well, one argument is not violent. One argument does not make something a domestic violence issue, but when there are background issues going on behind that one argument, when there's that power and control issue, that one argument says a lot. So a lot of people don't realize what's presented to you, what you can see is usual. It's like that, I don't know if you've ever seen this image on social media, and it's an iceberg, and it has the tip of the iceberg at the top. And it says, it's something about what you see, but this is what you see, but you don't really know me. And it shows right. underneath, and it shows how big the iceberg really is, but you can't see that from, you know, from what's being presented to you. Right. And I think for people who are in abusive relationships, that there's a lot of things that we don't see. And you might notice, you might say, you might hear someone yelling at someone or calling them names and threatening to do things to them, and they try to play it off like, oh, he's just playing. A lot of the times they're really not. Yep. A lot of the times that's just things escalating, and then you don't know what is going to happen when you when they get home. I can remember before I got into my I was already into my abusive relationship, but it hadn't gotten as bad at that point. And I met a young lady, and she wanted me and a couple of other girls to come out to her house. And I can remember she lived in Brooklyn, and she said she lived with her boyfriend, and she was really nice, you know, really nice girl.
Right.
She said she lived with her boyfriend, and she was like, oh, you guys could come to my house, but you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. And I'm like, okay. And at first I was like, okay, she sounded like she lived more with her parents. Cause you know, when you go to your parents' house, there are rules and regulations that you can't follow. You can't wear your shoes in the house. You can't
right.
do that. And she made a statement that it didn't dawn on us until later, until we actually went to her house. She was like, cause sometimes I have to wear a helmet and knee pads because he likes to kick me in my stomach. And we thought she Ooh. Was joking. But
oh, wow.
it turns out that she wasn't joking. Oh, and okay. that was her way of coping. Like she was turning it into a joking situation, but right. it was really serious because we did witness him treat her that way. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of women try to downplay the severity of the situation that they're in as a way to cope with it because they don't know what else to do.
And yeah.
That was an experience. She was like, and I'll never forget those words. She said, sometimes I have to wear a helmet and knee pads because he likes to kick me in my stomach.
See, and I don't know. Like I said, I've never actually been around anyone that was being physically abused. And my heart goes out to people who have experienced that or who are currently going through it. And I almost feel like if I ever knew anyone personally, I don't know how I would react to hearing that statement. You know, like,
right.
I just, it's so unfortunate. Like,
it's crazy.
It's heartbreaking.
It's mm-hmm. and it sounds like something that you would see in a movie, it sounds like, because even though I went through, when I was in the middle of my own situation, I didn't see it as being domestic violence. I saw it as us just not getting along. I saw it as, him trying to have his say and me being stubborn and trying to have my say, and, you know, it would all work out. Even right. In the middle of it, I couldn't see it as being a domestic violent situation. I saw, you know, like, okay, we get into fights, but I fight back. I always thought of domestic violence as a woman being beaten down by her man. And I would always envision this woman cowering in the corner, you know, not fighting back, but I always fought back. So I'm like, no, I'm not being abused. I fight back, but that's not the case. I shouldn't have to fight back. It shouldn't get to that point where I feel like I have to do whatever I have to do to defend myself.
Right.
And for whatever reasons, because I didn't see that as being a violent situation, even though I didn't like it, I didn't leave it either.
Mm-hmm.
But that brings me to myth number three. Victims stay in abusive relationships because they like getting hit, which is what a lot of people say. Oh, you stay there because you must like it. She must like being hit on. She likes to get beat on. And I heard that a lot.
Wow.
And that wasn't the case. And that's not the case for a lot of women.
Right.
There's a lot of barriers that prevent some women from moving on from that relationship. They may fear retaliation. They may think that person will come back to find them or to find their friends and family. There's a lot of things that go on. If there's children involved, they think about the children. That was one of my big issues. I have my kids, and I wanted my kids to know their father. He was horrible to me, but he loved his kids to death, and I wanted them to have their father.
Yeah, that reminded me when you said the barriers killing. That reminded me of a movie I saw way back in high school that was based on a true story. I don't know if y'all have heard of it. It's called Not Without My Daughter. And I think it was a TV movie, and Sally Field was a star. But anyway, she was a white woman, and she married a man who I believe was of some type of Middle Eastern descent. They had met and married, I believe, in America, but he ended up convincing her to go with him to his home country. And what happened? She gets pregnant. She has a child. He becomes very abusive. Mm-hmm. But the issue was she's in another country where she's not native. Mm-hmm. She's a minority. She has a child with this man. And then also there was a lot of cultural norms in this man's religion and family background that condoned this behavior, but she finally got to the point where she couldn't stand it anymore, but she couldn't just up and catch an Uber or whatnot. She had to come up with an elaborate plan to get to go from that country to another country with the U.S. embassy, and then finally get on a plane to the U.S. where she escaped, and obviously she's able to do international divorce and retain custody. But I say all that to say is, yeah, it's not just easy to walk up and walk out and leave, whether you have kids or not, whether you're married or not, because in a lot of cases, women have become isolated.
Right.
And they feel like their partner is the only person who can kind of keep them afloat, kind of sustain them. They don't have anyone else in the world who understands them in quite the same way. And it's sad, but that's part of the conditioning of abusive relationships, where that partner makes you feel like, well, I can't do anything without him, so I have to stay. I'm just going to have to endure it. And it's sad because, as we know, there's so much out there. Once a woman decides for herself, this is not how my story ends, this is not how I want my life to be, this is not going to be my legacy. So,
absolutely. Yes. The world is beautiful. And Shanika knows, Shanika travels. That's our traveling sister.
The world is beautiful.
It is. Plenty to see. For that reason alone, don't let nobody keep you isolated.
Absolutely. And that brings me to the last point that I wanted to make during this episode. Alicia, you talked about isolation. So there are red flags that that are indicators that a person could potentially be abusive. Number one would be being aggressive towards a victim, being verbal and physically aggressive. That's the number one. When they're dominating, they could try to dominate conversations. They want to control what you eat, control what you say. Like you said, Alicia, the isolation, they want you to be alone. They don't want you interacting with friends and family. Jealousy is a big one. And that's one that I hear. I had to correct my daughter once. She was, I don't even know if you want to call him a boyfriend, but she was like, oh, he's jealous. And I'm like, that's not cute.
No, it's not.
That's not cute at all. That, you know, and I had to talk to her about that a little bit. Somebody being jealous and showing you that they care is two different things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's all about maturity. So if somebody has to be jealous, then that should make you question their maturity and maybe they're not ready for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So people who put people down, they are potentially abusive. They put you down and then they act like they're the only one that can lift you up. And that brings me back to what you said, Alicia. It's like for the support, it's only them. They feel like that's the only person that they have. Personalities, the Jekyll and Hyde. One day they're nice, mm-hmm. one day they're not.
Yeah.
And then you try to say, oh, well, they're just having a bad day. Everyone has bad days, but everyone is not just going out there and lashing out at somebody.
Absolutely. Right.
So there's a lot. Domestic violence is a huge, huge topic. We certainly did not touch on everything. And I don't even think it's possible to even touch on everything within a month time span. Mm. But we can definitely have a part two discussion to talk a little bit more about how victims can heal, get past their abusive relationships, and live their lives. Shanika, like we said, you travel. The world is beautiful. You don't have to be stuck in a situation that makes you feel like you are useless, hopeless, not beautiful. And mm-hmm. That's what being in an abusive relationship is. It makes you feel like you're not even a person.
Yeah. Well, definitely. I feel like we should have a part two, you know, so that people can know how to get out of those situations and what life looks like in the aftermath, you know, because that particular situation is not the end all be all, you right. know, just because that relationship was abusive doesn't mean your next one has to be, you know, and just life in general, if they tried to isolate you and keep you from people, there is so much beauty out there in the world. So many great people that you come across, you know, who end up being, you know, lifelong friends and become like family and things like that. So we Absolutely. Should definitely have a part two that goes into that, you know, so that we can turn that light around and maybe, you know, flip a switch for some people and say like, hey, maybe I can get out of this. Maybe I can, you know, recreate myself.
Right.
So.
Absolutely. All right, ladies, thank you so much for joining in on this conversation, and we will definitely have our next episode will be a part two of talking about how we can get away from domestic violence.
Sounds good.
All right.
Domestic violence is an issue that has probably directly or indirectly affected you or someone you know at some point in life. From personal experience, I can relate to the feelings of shame, hurt, anger, and loneliness that comes with the experience. I share that story in my book, Making Peace with Broken Pieces, along with some activities that I use to help get my thoughts together and put me first. It might help you too. Staying silent about it is not the answer. If you're not ready to talk to close family and friends, or if you don't have anyone to talk to, contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. 799-7233 or visit them online at www.thehotline.org. Until next time, be well.